We find time for things that are important in our lives. We make time for our families, hopefully. We make time to make money. We make time to eat and do the things that are necessary to survive. You have to find time for some of those things. You don't even have a choice. Spiritually, we need to do the same thing. We need to make time for things that are important. And if you don't make time for things like prayer, and that's what we're going to focus on tonight, but also studying and attending worship services, then that shows that it's not important enough to you. If something becomes important enough, then you will make time to do those things. And so I see a great lack in my life of praying like I need to pray. And it might be the case with you. And maybe we all need to get better at prayer. I think just about anybody could get better at prayer. And to pray more often and pray more fervently. And what better example could we look at than that of Jesus Christ? We could look at Paul, and we could look at examples of Daniel and Hezekiah. And we could look at all kind of great prayers in the Bible. But we look at Jesus and we see the one who is the greatest example of prayer that we could possibly consider. The Bible has to say a lot, or the Gospels have a lot to say about Jesus and praying. He was consistent in prayer. Prayer was a way of life for him. He prayed no matter what was going on. I think for some of us, it's almost like the planets have to be aligned just perfectly in order for us to have the time to pray. You know, we come home from work and we eat supper and we get the kids to bed or do whatever you have to do. And then if you have any time before you go to bed, then, okay, everything worked out perfectly today, I can pray. But if anything goes wrong, you don't have that time. But Jesus made the time to pray. And he was anxious to pray. So we're going to look at many examples starting in Mark chapter 1. Now I'm just going to go chronologically through the different examples, and we're not going to have time to look at every one of them. So I'm going to kind of skip the first couple. Jesus prayed at his baptism at the beginning of his ministry. He probably prayed at the temptation in the wilderness, although prayer is not mentioned specifically there. Fasting is. But this one in Mark 1 is one I want to start with. Jesus had had a full day already. He'd come to Peter and Andrew's house after synagogue. And Peter's mother-in-law needed to be healed. And I imagine he was probably tired and ready to relax. And it says that the entire city was thronging at the door outside the house. And he assisted to their needs and he healed them. And he cast out demons. And I don't know how long he did that, how late he stayed up. But we do know that in verse 35, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a secluded place and was praying there. What a great example that Jesus prayed at his busiest. Can you get any busier than Jesus? I don't think so. And even when things were so busy and he could not have any time alone, he made the time. And he woke up before the sun came up and went off somewhere alone to pray. We need to pray when we're busy. And we need to pray. We need to look forward to it. You know, sometimes it's almost like pulling teeth to get ourselves to pray. And when we do, it's difficult and we struggle to concentrate and we get distracted. Jesus did not get distracted. He looked forward to it. And another application here is that we need to start our days out with prayer. What a great example Jesus has set. To start your day with prayer and with the strength of God on your side to get you through the day and help you along. Turn to Luke chapter 6, the next example I want to look at. Jesus had just performed a great miracle in healing a withered man's hand. And the Pharisees and the scribes, and this was on the Sabbath, by the way, and the Pharisees and the scribes went mad to try to figure out how to kill him. They plotted together to kill him. And it says there in verse 12, it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray. And he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles. Jesus had a big decision to make. He had to choose the 12 apostles, people who would have a unique relationship with him. and a unique position in the kingdom to go and bring the word in a way that no one else could because they were witnesses of him and his chosen apostles. And he knew one of them would betray him. He had to choose these men. I think that is probably a big part of what he prayed about. But we don't know what all he prayed about. He prayed all night long. Can you imagine praying all night long? You must have a lot to say to pray that long. Perhaps he was praying about the situation that the Jews wanted to kill him. Perhaps that was partly on his mind. Perhaps he was thinking about the Sermon on the Mount that he would preach very soon. Perhaps he was just talking to God. Jesus prayed out of a closeness to God. You think about Jesus praying to God. God praying to God. We pray often so that we can be close to God. Jesus prayed because he was close to God. That's a powerful thought. And we can get to that point. We get so close to God that we're not praying to become close. We're praying to him because we're close to him. I think it's a great example. The thought of Jesus praying all night. That just intimidates me to no end. I have never done it. I've tried and I've fallen asleep. Maybe some of you have done it. Have you prayed all night? Have you ever prayed for 1 hour? When you pray for that long, it is a deepness that you go into with God in deep communication that you cannot reach in 10 or 15 minutes of prayer. And I think it's a good example. Now, there's nothing wrong with short prayers. But take the time sometimes and see if you can pray for an hour or longer. It'll strengthen your faith. It'll draw you closer to God. We need to pray before we make decisions, big and small. I heard of one preacher who said that he wouldn't even buy a pair of shoes without praying about it first. And that might be a little extreme. I don't know if he was serious about that. And so the point is, whatever decisions you have to make, pray about it beforehand. Sometimes we're happy to just go about our way and think that things will work out. But don't assume that things are just going to work out the way they'll work out. Know that prayer can make a difference. Well, Jesus also probably prayed after he heard about John being beheaded. Although the text does not mention prayer, Matthew 14:13 says, "Now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat in a secluded place by himself." I assume he probably prayed, knowing the character of Jesus when he gets alone. Then we have the occasion of the miracle of him feeding the 5,000 men, plus however many women and children. And in Luke chapter 9 and verse 18, I would like to read that passage. Luke 9 and verse 18. "And it happened that while he was praying alone," there again we see Jesus alone, praying, "the disciples were with him, and he questioned them, saying, 'Who do the people say that I am?'" He had a big task ahead of him. He was going to tell his disciples, his apostles, about his death. He was going to try to make them understand. And they answered and said, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but others that one of the prophets of old has risen again." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." And he warned them and instructed them not to tell this to anyone, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised up on the third day." Now you put yourself in Jesus' position. These people are looking at you like you are going to be the king. They are expecting you to be a physical king, to bring a powerful physical kingdom, to take over the Romans and to overthrow that rule. And these apostles think that they are going to be right there, right underneath the king in this kingdom. And Jesus has to tell them, "No, I'm going to be killed. And you're going to have to suffer. And you're going to have to give up everything." That's a very difficult thing to tell his apostles. And so an application, I think, for us is that we need to pray that people will understand our message when we're trying to teach them, that they will understand the Bible and the very difficult truths that are in it, because they're not easy to accept. Well, next we know that the apostles, after he told them about his death, that the people wanted to make him king, ironically. And then in John chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, it says that he just wanted to get away because he did not want them to make him king. And he got away and he prayed. And turn to Mark chapter 6. This is one of my favorite examples of Jesus praying. This is still right after the miracle of feeding the 5,000. Look in verse 45. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he himself was sending the crowd away. After bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. When it was evening, and he's probably still praying, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Now, I want you to just picture this. Picture Jesus on this mountain, and he's looking out, and he's seeing this boat with his apostles on it, and it is stormy, and the boat is being tossed, and they're struggling, and they're panicking, and he's watching and praying on that mountain. He's praying for their faith. He's praying for their strength, no doubt. He's testing them. He says, he doesn't say, but this is really, he's trying to show them, I think, that this is something to learn about, that he will not always be with them. And he is watching them. And he's seeing them struggle, and that they are not having faith. Verse 49. Okay, in between those two verses. Verse 48. Seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them, at about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass by them. That was anywhere from 3 to 6 in the morning. He was probably praying that entire time. And we know the story of how they saw him and thought he was a ghost, and he came to them. And we know the situation about Peter and his lack of faith and trying to walk on the water. And Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Before all this happened, Jesus was praying for their strength. And I think there's a great lesson for us, that we need to pray for the strength and faith of others, especially when we know that they're going through something. I have a friend, a close friend, who is really going through a hard time right now spiritually. He's not going to church anymore. He has doubts about the authority, God's authority, and the silence of the Scriptures, and drinking, and different issues. And I'm really concerned about him. I'm praying for him. That, I think, is more important than even praying for people who are sick, which is very important. But we need to look at people's spiritual sickness and pay attention to those who need our prayers spiritually. And don't just pray for your own strength. Pray for others and their strength. Well, the next example we're going to skip over is the example of Jesus praying before the Transfiguration, which will be another great proof of Jesus' deity. He prayed about that, probably that his disciples would be able to understand it and accept it and learn from it. Now, the next example I want to look at in specific is Luke chapter 10. This was after Jesus had sent out 70 disciples. He was in northern Palestine, and he had sent out 70 disciples down to go to the places where he was going to come and kind of pave the way that they would evangelize. And verse 17 says, "The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.'" And he talked to them about that for a minute in verse 21. "At that very time, he rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and said, 'I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight.'" So we see that after this successful event, Jesus thanked God. He praised God for the success. And so Jesus didn't only pray before events, he prayed after events as well. And I think that's a great example for us, that we need to thank God for the success of the gospel, for the success of other people, for answering our prayers. And to thank God after any kind of success, whether it's a promotion or you graduate from college or you've had a healthy baby. You know, when we have successes, we just want to party and celebrate. And we forget sometimes to praise God, who is the one who's responsible for our success. The next example is Luke 11, verse 1. We're not going to look at this one in detail, but it says, "It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" I don't know what Jesus was praying about there, but I know he was praying. We just find him praying all the time, over and over and over and over and over. What a wonderful example to us. And the disciples noticed. And they said, we want to be able to pray like this man. And so he taught them how to pray. Turn to John chapter 11. Jesus was in Bethany. Lazarus had been dead for days. And he came to town. And people were saying, you could have stopped this, Jesus. You could have kept him from dying. And look at what Jesus says, starting in verse 41. So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes. And you just picture that. Picture Jesus just looking up to heaven. And said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. What great faith he had. Before Lazarus was even raised, he knew that God would do it. He knew that his prayer would be answered before it was answered. That is a great example for us. To know and have no doubting, James says. And Jesus talks about in Mark chapter 9, that all things are possible to him who believes. And of course that falls under the heading of anything that's under God's authority, anything that God that is God's will, that he has promised to us. If we have faith, God will do it. I think sometimes when we pray, we don't really know if God even can do it. Sometimes it's okay to maybe not know if God is going to do it, because we don't always know if it's God's will. But we need to know that God can do it, if it is his will, that he can, and that he can do very powerful things. You know, I think of the example of Peter when he was in prison in Acts chapter 12. I think the Bible has some humor in it. Peter was in prison. Herod had put him in prison. And the people were gathered together at Mary's house and they were praying for him. And an angel released him from prison and he came to that house. And he knocked on the gate. And the servant girl came up and heard Peter's voice and got so excited she couldn't hardly stand it. She ran back and said, Peter's here. And they said, you are out of your mind. And they're praying for him. That he'll be released. They said, no, you gotta be crazy. She said, no, really. And they go out there and they see this Peter. It says that they were amazed. And I think it's a good example that they were praying for him, but maybe they could have had more faith so that they wouldn't be surprised and be in disbelief when Peter did come and their prayer was answered. I have a cousin who almost died in a car accident. Really almost died. Two or three times the doctors told his parents, he's not gonna make it. Prepare yourself. And I remember getting the news about this. He was one of my best friends growing up. Holly and I drove from Madison to Birmingham, and it was one of the deepest times of prayer that I can remember in my life. I was just so hurt for him. And I just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And when we got there, they said he's actually doing better right now. And that was good. And over the course of the next few days, we found out he might recover. And he did recover. And not only did he recover, he made a full recovery. And what praise that will cause us to give to God when things like that happen, and thanksgiving. But I got to tell you, and be honest, I didn't really expect him to make it. I was a bit surprised. But that whole incident strengthened my faith. And when God does answer your prayers, it'll cause you to say, now my faith can be stronger because I see that God does hear me. And he does. Well, the next example is in John chapter 17, before Jesus died, before he was arrested, we have a beautiful prayer in John chapter 17. And if you want to learn how to pray, read the prayers in the Bible. Now, this is a very unique chapter because it is the words of Jesus' prayer. We don't have many prayers recorded of Jesus. And go back and read the prayers of David. Read the Psalms. Make them your own prayers. And read the different prayers of great men of faith throughout the Bible. I think that it will strengthen your faith. I really like the prayers of Daniel. And try to pray like that. But anyway, before Jesus' death, he was concerned not only for himself, but he was concerned for others. Look in verse 13. He says, but now I come to you, and he's praying to God, and these things I speak in the world so that they, that is my disciples, may have my joy made full in themselves. Look in verse 15. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. Verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. So Jesus is praying for his disciples that they'll go to heaven, that they'll be in heaven with him, that God would keep them safe, would keep them safe from Satan and make them strong spiritually. What a great example for us. Look in Luke chapter 22. This is when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before he was arrested. Very famous set of verses we're all familiar with, but you can always learn something more each time. Verse 41, and he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray. And I don't want to pass over the fact that he just told his disciples, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Verse 42, he prayed saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him, and being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. When he rose from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. What a wonderful example for us that Jesus, even when he was under all this stress and all this pressure, and he was dreading what was going to come, he had to find time to pray. That was his only consolation. And in times of distress and temptation, when life gets you down, we need to go to God in prayer. Too often, that is the time when people turn away from God. They turn to sin. But we have to go to God in prayer in those times. And we also see Jesus praying very fervently. Ask yourself, do you pray fervently? Do you really mean it when you pray? Has prayer ever brought you to tears? I'm sure that it has. I think that this is a great example of Jesus. He is just deeply involved in deep communication with the Father. And he prays for God's will to be done and not his own. And that's another good application for us. Well, look in chapter 23 and verse 34. This is when Jesus was on the cross. Let's start in verse 33. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Now, imagine, just put yourself in Jesus' place. You have been wrongly accused. You have been beaten. You have been scourged. You have had a crown of thorns pressed into your head, scraping your skull. You have been forced to carry a cross which you could not bear alone. And you have been pinned up on a piece of wood like a piece of meat, left to die and rot. That is the attitude of these people towards you. They hate you bitterly. I tell you, I don't think I'd be praying in those occasions. I think that I'd be just thinking hateful thoughts, I'm afraid. And if I did have the strength to pray, I'm afraid that I'd be praying, God, forgive these pitiful sinners. And Jesus prays with mercy for their forgiveness. That amazes me to no end. And it's a great example that even when we are in the midst of persecution and ill treatment, that we have a heart of mercy toward our enemies and we pray for them and don't react to them in anger. The next prayer he prayed is recorded in Mark 15:34 when he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus was very honest in his prayer, and he was miserable without his Father's presence. You think about that. He could not stand to be separated from his God and to have to bear this alone. He was used to always being close to his Father. Is that the way we feel when we are living lives that cause us to be separated from God? Does it hurt us? We should not be able to bear the thought of being separate from our Father. The last prayer is verse 46. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus did not whisper that. He cried out with a loud voice so that all could hear. You just imagine that. I hope that on my deathbed I have the confidence to pray that prayer and to have no doubt that yes, God will receive my spirit and I am going to heaven because of his grace. And what a great example that is for us. I tell you, we could go on and on and on about Jesus' prayers. But I think the examples we have looked at suffice to show us How important it is to pray often and to pray long and to pray alone. We fall so short of what we could be as God's people. I know I do. So I want to talk just for a minute about a few applications. First of all, pray before things. Jesus always saw things coming. He realized the importance of asking for God's help. He did not want to be unprepared, but we go into things unprepared because we don't pray about it beforehand. He made all his decisions after consulting God. And we need to do the same thing. We need to pray about upcoming events in our lives, things that we can see coming, whether they're problems or changes, difficulties you can see on the horizon. I have a lot of changes coming in my life. I'm going to be stepping out of a career I've been involved in for 5 years. I'm going to be going into a preaching job that I don't know where it's going to take me. That's a bit scary. And I tell you, if Jesus was in my place, I know he'd be praying a lot more than I am about it. And we also need to realize that prayer makes a difference. I mentioned that earlier. You know, we think of prayer almost like something God has given us to make us feel better. Sometimes we think of it that way. He's given us this venue where we can talk, and it's almost just like talking to ourselves. It frees our thoughts and our mind, and it just makes us feel more, it just makes us feel better after we're finished. It's almost like writing a note to someone that you don't actually give it to. You write this note. Have you ever done that? You get mad at somebody or whatever, and you write this big, long letter, and then you decide, I don't want to give this to them. You put it somewhere, and you feel a lot better. But you didn't actually give it to them. You didn't get anything accomplished except for making you feel better. Sometimes that's the way I think that some Christians think of prayer. It's just something that makes us feel better. It's just something we do because God told us to. No, prayer makes a difference. Do you believe that? I believe that prayer can make a big change in people and people coming to the faith. And it can heal the sick, James chapter 5. Physical things can happen because of prayer. Not miraculous things. We're not going to go around performing miracles. But God shapes and alters the events of this world based on what His children ask Him. And based on what His will is above those things they even know. Do you believe that? We need to pray before things. We need to pray during things. Jesus did. He prayed for His disciples while He watched them suffering out there on the sea. Watched them struggling. He was praying. He prayed while He was on the cross. He had the presence of mind to do that. He probably prayed when He was in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. You know, when we're tempted, sometimes the very last thing we want to do is pray. Because we don't want to go before the presence of the Almighty God, being honest with our passions and desires. We don't want to let go of them. So the last thing we want to do is pray about it. But if you will stop and break yourself down when you are in that moment, the very moment of temptation, not before, not after, in the moment, stop and pray. It will break down your will, and nothing will draw you closer to God than trying to do His will. And we need to pray for others when we know that they are struggling. We need to pray after things. Jesus did. He prayed after His baptism. He prayed after the successful return of the 70 disciples. He prayed after the feeding of the 5,000 men. And He prayed after John was beheaded. He prayed after things very often. Sometimes we don't think of that. We think of Him praying before things. And so we always need to pray about things that have happened. If they're good things, we need to praise Him and thank Him for what He has done. If they're bad things, we need to pray for God's strength and God's wisdom. It's true, you cannot change the past, but if you're not careful, the past can change you. And so what has happened, yes. But there are effects from what has happened, and we need to pray about those things. So many other points could be made. But in conclusion, I think we see the point that we need to pray a lot. At our busiest, every single day. Do not let one day go by without deep communication with your Father. And we didn't talk about all the prayers of Jesus. He prayed before meals. He prayed before the Lord's Supper. He prayed for children. We just find Him praying all the time. And that's something that we can always strive for, to become more like.